Thank you, Brother Ernie Woodhouse and my brethren. And thank you for leading us in those beautiful hymns, Brother Ernie. I have some favorite hymns, some that have been a real blessing to me. And we have sung quite a few of them this morning. Beneath the cross of Jesus, when I survey that wondrous cross, or the wondrous cross, how great thou art, Emmanuel's land. Thank God for these hymns that not only touch our hearts, but enable us to praise and worship our great God. Well, it is always a pleasure to visit here at Park of the Palms Church, and a joy to see each and every one of you this morning. May God further bless your hearts as I give a simple gospel message, study in salvation. And if you are not a Christian, may God touch your heart this morning. May you become a real, true, sincere believer. My wife and I have been coming here to Park of the Palms for over 30 years, and we couldn't begin to count all the blessings. We have many, many fond memories. She's not able to be with me today, and I'd appreciate your prayers for her. Maddie lost her hearing in one ear about a year ago. She woke up three weeks ago and couldn't hear a thing. But medication helped to bring the hearing back, at least for Christmas. And then a few days ago, it has gone out again. So it's very frustrating for her, I'm sure. Appreciate your prayer for Maddie. Now I'd like to turn to the 22nd Psalm. A portion of God's Word that we'll have in the background of our message this morning. Psalm 22, where we have the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd going through that long, dark night at Calvary. Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd caring for his flock, and in Chapter 24, Psalm 24, he is the chief shepherd coming again. But Psalm 23, it is well known, well loved, and I suppose that is because it tells of someone who loves and cares. Very familiar and yet a favorite because it tells of someone who loves and cares for us. David could look out upon his flock and say, what I am to these sheep, the Lord is to me. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now to the lost and found chapter, which is Luke chapter 15. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 15. The lost and found chapter. Here we have parables that picture the pain and the pleasure of God. What is the pain of God? That men are lost. What is the pleasure of God? When they are found, when they are saved. And a parable, by the way, is an earthly story that portrays a heavenly truth. I'd like to read, beginning at verse 4, just a few verses. Verse 4, "What man of you," said the Lord Jesus, "having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance," or don't see their need for it. Then verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And then to our text, which is Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The 19th chapter of Luke. Verse 10. Where it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost," or was lost. Words that are simply beautiful. Beautiful simplicity. Hear them again. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." With these words, the Lord Jesus described his mission, told of his purpose in coming into the world. And we note that he did not come to be the inspiration for sacred art or sacred song. He did not come to enable the world to celebrate Christmas every December. But he came, and he didn't come to die a martyr's death, to teach great principles and die a martyr's death, as some would have us believe. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to offer himself a sacrifice for the sin of the world. And in offering that sacrifice, he satisfied all heaven's just demands. He finished the work that saves. He is risen from the dead, but the seeking and the saving continues to this very day. The seeking is not a matter of locating sinners. God knows where they are, those who are lost. But it's a matter of creating in their hearts a desire to be saved. And that's what the gospel does. And those of us who are Christians, we can be workers together with God. We can have a part in this great work of seeking and saving the lost. Now I'd like to divide this text in two parts. Man's part, which is summed up in the word lost, and then God's part. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save. You know, the Bible teaches that man is guilty before God and needs justification, that man is a rebel against God and needs reconciliation, that mankind is dead in sin and needs regeneration, that man is blinded by sin and needs illumination, that man is a spiritual leper and needs cleansing. The scriptures teach that man is in bondage and needs deliverance or redemption. The scriptures teach that man is lost and needs salvation. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53 that many of us are familiar with. It says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That verse begins with "all." Praise God, it also ends with "all." But notice that man is likened unto a sheep throughout the Bible, really. And that's not exactly a compliment, because of all the creatures on earth, the sheep seem to be the most helpless. They need someone to lead them to the still waters. They need someone to guide them to the green pastures. And they are the most defenseless. One time I saw a wild dog attack a group of sheep. And as this dog came to this sheep, it didn't run, didn't try to camouflage itself, didn't try to fight. No resistance whatsoever. It just let that dog pull it to the ground and kill it. And of course we, God's creatures, human beings, are very, very helpless in many ways as well. And then, sheep are not only very helpless, but they have a tendency to go astray, and they can be very stubborn and very stupid. Now, I made that statement to a friend of mine once. Sheep are, or in a meeting, sheep are very stubborn and stupid. And this friend of mine had been a shepherd in the Middle East. And he says, "Brother Fred, they're very, very stubborn, but they are intelligent creatures. But I have come to the conclusion they are stubborn and sometimes rather silly." I heard of a case years ago where on this one island they raised sheep, and then they would put them aboard a boat. They didn't have refrigeration. They'd put the sheep in the hold of the ship and then send them off somewhere else for slaughter or whatever. Well, this one man was watching the sheep go up the gangplank into the hold of the ship. And he had an idea. As they followed one another up the gangplank, he stuck a 6-inch board about 3 feet long across that gangplank, and the next sheep jumped over it. And then the next one. And then he pulled it out, but every sheep after that, when it came to that point where the board was, would jump. So, sheep can be rather silly, and of course, we know people can be that way too. Then the tendency of sheep is to go astray. Back in the year 1958-59, my wife and I were out in Arizona working among the Navajo Indians. And that is a very, very difficult language to learn. And I used an interpreter, or I should say an interpreter. And somebody said to me, "You have to be very careful of these interpreters. You may be pouring your heart out with a message, maybe just giving people the local gossip for all you know." But I had a very reliable interpreter, as it turned out. He became a minister of the gospel and just went home to heaven last year. But I did use personal names and say things amusing, and that way I could tell whether the message was being given to the people. On one occasion, I told the Navajos of the school teacher who asked a problem in arithmetic to a first grade student. She said, "John, if there were 5 sheep in the fold and 1 got out, how many would be left?" John thought for a moment and then he said, "None, teacher." Disappointed, the teacher said, "John, if there were 5 sheep in the fold and 1 got out, how many would be left?" "None, teacher." "John, I'm afraid you do not know your arithmetic today." "Well," said John, "I may not know my arithmetic, teacher, but I know my sheep. And if 1 got out, they'd all get out and there would be none left." Well, the Navajo Indians, they nodded and smiled in agreement because taking care of sheep out there, they knew the tendency of their going astray. And then once they have gone astray, they do not have the ability to find their way back to the fold or the flock or the shepherd, whatever the case may be. Dogs and cats can find their way home again. I was just reading in the paper a few days ago of some people at Savannah, Georgia, who lost their dog some 25 miles away, and it was gone for a week, and it came home for Christmas. They were so glad. And then cats can find their way too. I remember a preacher telling me this story. He was very honest. In fact, some of you might remember him. His name was Charles Van Ryn, uncle to Elliot Van Ryn, brother to August Van Ryn. He was up in Michigan, and a cat started to live around the house, and he didn't want the cat. And they did not have a humane shelter, so he took it to town in his car, put it out, took care of his shopping and business, and went back home. And who do you think was waiting for him on the doorstep when he got home? The cat. Well, this time, he told me, he put it in a crocus sack and he went way out in the woods, walked around in circles, dumped the cat out and said, "Kitty, you should find plenty to eat around here." And then he started to go home. But in a little while, he realized that he was lost. He didn't know the way home. And he says, "Brother Fred, the only way I got home was by following that cat." So dogs and cats may find their way home again, but not sheep. I remember one evening in Navajo land, I watched a little shepherd boy about 10 years of age put his sheep in a fold, and I tried my Navajo on him. I said, "Nanishkadi," which means "you are a good shepherd." And he smiled, went into his hogan with his family. That's a house made of mud and wood with a hole in the roof for the smoke to go out. And then I climbed into the back seat of my car as the sun was setting in the west to spend the night. And as it grew dark, I could hear sheep crying, not from the nearby fold, but from down in Wildcat Canyon. And sure enough, there was a stir in the hogan, and this little shepherd boy, Leo, and his father and his brother with flashlights hurried down to Wildcat Canyon. Why? Because they loved their sheep? Because they were valuable? Because they were in a place of distance, danger, and darkness? And they went and found those sheep and brought them home again. Now, why do I tell these stories? Because I want to emphasize that which is so important, so fundamental. Namely, that man is lost. He is at distance from God, in a place of not only distance, but darkness and danger. But praise God, just as shepherds love their sheep, so God loves people. And we are valuable to Him. I once heard a preacher say, "You worthless sinners." Sinners are not worthless. You don't look for something that has no value. sinners are valuable to God. They need to be saved, and then they can be very precious to God in serving Him. So I tell these stories to emphasize that man is not only lost and at distance from God, but can do nothing to save himself. Nothing, absolutely nothing in the way of human performance or religious observance to take away his sin and guilt. The wages of sin is death, and it is a debt we cannot pay. We cannot remove the stain of sin. We cannot clear the guilt of sin. We need a Savior. We need a shepherd. But may I say, it's a very sad thing to be lost. In this life, people who are lost, they go through all the strife and troubles and sorrows of life without a shepherd. And then if one dies in his or her sins, it means the blackness of darkness forever, cut off from the glory and the presence of God forever. It's a sad thing to be lost. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 9 and read a verse before we go on to God's part in our verse. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. It says, "But when he," that is the Lord Jesus, "saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Here we not only have a harvest without helpers, but sheep without a shepherd. And that caused the Lord Jesus to have compassion on the crowds, the multitudes of his day. You know what compassion is? It means to suffer with. You see, a soldier on a battlefield, badly wounded, bleeding, suffering, and the pain is so great that you wish you could take it upon yourself. That's compassion. You see, a dear woman who has lost her husband of 50 years as death has come in, and her grief is so great that you wish you could take it upon yourself so that that one might not suffer. That's compassion. And so the Lord Jesus looked on the crowd in his day with compassion, yea, to the extent that he would take their sin upon himself, that they, that we, might go free. Someone said to me recently, the church has lost its love for the lost. That's not altogether true. I don't think we have the concern that Christians had for the lost 50 years ago. That we do need to have a compassion, a concern for the lost in this day. Ask God to give it to you. I wrote these words in the margin of my Bible. Let me look on the crowd as my Savior did, till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for love of Him. May God give us that love, that compassion for the lost. Now we come to God's part. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have that lovely picture there in the scriptures of a shepherd on finding out that one sheep is lost, doesn't go into the comfort of his cottage and say, "Oh, that's nothing." No, with real concern, he goes out into the dark night. He crosses the swollen stream. He climbs the rugged mountain. He calls for that sheep. And at last, when he finds it, he puts it upon his shoulders and goes home rejoicing. And it's a lovely picture of our Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, how he left the realms of glory to seek and to save that which was lost. The search led him to Bethlehem, and then to the shores of the Galilee, and the hills and villages of Judea, yea, to Jerusalem. The search led him to Pilate's hall, where he was mocked as a king, where he was cruelly scourged. And the search reached its climax when he went to Calvary's cross, and there he laid down his life. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And beloved, we'll never know how dark was that night at Calvary. We'll never know what agony and suffering the Lord Jesus went through, for he not only suffered the pain men inflicted upon him and the shame they heaped upon him, but the sin of the world that God laid upon him. He who was infinitely pure, holy, had our sin laid upon him. He was the only one who had the infinite capacity, the only one good enough to die for all. And hallelujah, what a Savior. Motivated by love and compassion, he came down from heaven to die for us. And he rose from the dead. But let's go back to the shepherd. Supposing the shepherd finds the sheep has fallen into a ravine. And in calling to the sheep responds with its bleating. And as it hears the shepherd's voice, it struggles to get out of the ravine. But the shepherd has to say to the sheep, he calls it by name. A true shepherd knows not only the nature and not only the needs, but the names of his sheep. And he calls it by name. He might say, Spot. Lie quietly. Be still. Trust me. And when the sheep lies perfectly still, then the shepherd can slip the crook about the shoulders or neck of the sheep and pull it to safety. There's a lesson there for you and me. As long as we struggle to save ourselves, we'll never, never make it. I struggled for 2 years and I couldn't save my soul. And if we lived 100 years or 1,000 years, we couldn't do it. But the moment we lie still, as it were, and look up to the one who died for us and put our trust in him, then we will surely, surely be saved because of his finished work at Calvary and the promise of God. But we'll never, never be saved through religious observance or human performance. Now, when the shepherd finds his sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and he goes home rejoicing. And one day I asked my friend, who was a shepherd in the Middle East, I said, Brother David, did the sheep ever show any emotion as you carried them home? I can well imagine your joy, but what about the sheep? And he smiled and he said, oh yes, Brother Fred. As I carried them, they used to put their cheek on mine. They used to nuzzle me. They were glad to be found. And you know, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And I think I told this story here before of the young fellow we saw saved down at Camp Horizon on Moon Day. That was back in 1967 when men landed and walked on the moon. And we had a young fellow receive the Lord as a Savior that day. And later in the week, he gave his testimony and he said something like this. The whole world was wild with excitement because men were on the moon. And heaven was rejoicing because I got saved. And I believe he was 100% correct. the joy in heaven. But there's also joy in the heart of the one who believes. I'll never forget that night 50 years ago when at Fort Benning, Georgia, I cried out, "Oh God, I believe on your Son." And the burden of sin and guilt rolled away, and I believe I was the happiest young man in all the world. Do you have the joy of salvation? And let me point this out too, that when the shepherd finds his sheep, he doesn't put it down and say, "All right, you little rascal, follow me home. If you wander off again, you've had it." Is that what the shepherd does? No, he carries it all the way home. The shoulders speak of the place of strength. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't leave it up to us to keep ourselves saved by the way in which we live. We should follow him in order to be pleasing to him and a blessing to others. But it is not the life we live that's going to get us to heaven. It's the Savior that we have trusted, that we have received. And so the Savior, rather the shepherd, carries his sheep all the way home. And praise God, our Savior is going to carry us all the way home. I like that verse in John chapter 10 where he says concerning his sheep, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There we have the gift, eternal life. There we have the guarantee, we shall never perish. And there we have the grip, hallelujah, he will hold me fast. When we trust the Savior, then we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then we can add almost any expression in the 23rd Psalm, and it makes good sense. "The Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me. The Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd, my cup runneth over. The Lord is my shepherd, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But it must be my shepherd. My friend, you must make it personal. Not just a shepherd or the shepherd, but he must be your shepherd. In 1984, my wife and I were visiting in Scotland. Found out something about my ancestors. My grandfather was a shepherd on my mother's side. And his father was a shepherd, and his father was a shepherd, going back for about 500 years as shepherds, and then we didn't have any more information. But Scotland is a lovely country with sheep roaming or being cared for on those green hills. And I think of a story I heard about a shepherd boy in Scotland who woke up one morning and said, "Mom, I don't think I can go out and watch the sheep this morning. I don't feel well." So the mother put the boy back to bed and found someone else to watch the sheep. And the boy didn't get any better. So they called the village doctor, and he came out and examined the boy and then broke the sad news to the parents that their son was not going to get better. He had a fatal affliction. A preacher came to the village, and he heard about that dying shepherd boy. So he went out to the cottage and knocked on the door. The mother opened the door, and he introduced himself. "Yes, please visit with my son." So the preacher sat down by the bedside of that boy and talked with him for a while, and then said, "Lad, do you know the 23rd Psalm?" "Oh, yes, sir." Well, Scottish boys in those days all knew the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down." "Wait a while," said the preacher. You're going too fast. Let's go slowly. And let's take those first five words very slowly and do it in this manner. And holding up his five fingers, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." When we get to that fourth word, let's grasp that finger, showing that we are trusting him as our Savior and shepherd. And he told the boy how the good shepherd had died on the cross for him, for sinners everywhere, and said, "Son, put your trust in him." And after a word of prayer, he promised to come back again soon. And he came back, and about another week, knocked on the door, and this time there were tears coursing down the mother's cheeks as she opened the door. She took the preacher to the bedroom, and there was the father standing by the bedside with a white sheet drawn up over the face of the boy. He had just died. The preacher came too late to see him again. But as he stepped into the room, the father pulled down the sheet, and there was that boy, white, quiet, and still in death, and yet he was saying something. As he died, he was holding that finger. He was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, I had some other stories, but we'll stop there. My friend, be very sure that the Lord is your shepherd. It's an awful thing to be lost forever. And may we who are Christians have a burden, a concern for those who are lost. Shall we pray? Our God, we do thank Thee for Your great love, loving us to such an amazing degree that You gave Your eternal beloved Son to be our Savior. And we thank You that He was moved by compassion and came down from the realms of glory to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know, we've been reminded, how the search led him to Calvary. And we thank Thee that when we put our faith in Him who is risen from the dead, that we can have the assurance from Thy word of a home in heaven. Bless us now, we pray. And if there be one or some here who are not truly saved, may they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this day. We ask it in His precious name. Amen.